This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Here we are with a new episode and a new segment. This week you guys get to experience something new called Rob's Marvel Recommendations. Rob Kreiger is going to recommend various Marvel titles to me to read. He's been reading Marvel a long time. He's an avid collector. Definitely knows a lot more than I do about especially older stuff. For example, this first episode that we do this, he recommends The Amazing Spider-Man number 42, which was published November 10th, 1966. Written by Stan Lee, art by John Romita, and I've never read this old of Spidey. I haven't really read all that much Spidey. I've read some. When I first got into reading comics, I read, I believe it was Dan Slott, his Spider-Man for a little while. I've read a little bit here and there otherwise, but I've always had kind of a hard time getting into Spider-Man beyond that because there isn't really anything big to hang your hat on with Spider-Man. I've asked avid Spider-Man fans to recommend, like, what's the go-to thing, and even big Spider-Man fans kind of throw their hands if there's not one big thing to point people to, so it makes it a little bit harder in a way to get into a character that way, although he is a very approachable character, and that's why I read him some when I started reading comics. But I certainly haven't gone this far back, and I haven't read a whole lot of Stan Lee writing either. So I was definitely kind of interested to read something by Stan Lee, and I asked Rob why he recommended this title to me, and a big part of the reason was that this is the first time Spider-Man meets Mary Jane. Up until this point, she'd been mentioned a lot. Peter Parker had been dreading meeting her, putting it off, and you hadn't seen her yet, though. There was one kind of obstructed view of her that you got before this point from what Rob tells me. But this is the first time that you full out meet Mary Jane, and this issue ends with something that is definitely an iconic moment in comics, which we'll get to at the end of the discussion this week. So a quick recap of the issue. This is just kind of my breakdown of the story. So it starts out with Spider-Man stealing a bag from a bank. So right off, things are kind of screwy and backwards and upside down. And there's witnesses seeing him steal it. This gets back to J. Jonah Jameson, who, of course, as usual, wants to tear Spider-Man down. He thinks he finally has proof here that Spider-Man is just a criminal and everything he's been publishing has been right. Meanwhile, his son, John Jameson, is back from space, apparently, and has been infected by some spores that he picked up and isn't feeling too hot to start with, but starts to realize that he kind of has superpowers. And at first, JJ is disgusted that his son is being referred to as a superhero when he thinks that superheroes are all just villains and vermin. But then he realizes that he can utilize this and he can use his son to wipe out Spider-Man because Spider-Man has now been witnessed as being a criminal. So he sends John Jameson after Spider-Man, and Jameson finds him. They fight. Spider-Man has to get away because he realizes that John Jameson has more strength than he does. He's got a lot of power to work with right now. And as the story goes on, John Jameson is just fixated on being Spider-Man and is clearly losing control of his sensibilities. And it's to the point that J. Jonah Jameson even realizes that he may have been wrong in the first place and wrong in guiding his son to do this. It eventually does get revealed that Spider-Man was not a thief, that his spider senses tipped him off that there was something funny about that bag. It was a bomb. And so he stole it and he was able to dispose of it just in time. I do find it a little odd that there's this setup of him getting that bomb, but they never pursue who was trying to bomb the bank or why they were trying to bomb the bank. It just kind of shrugged off as it was a plot to get the bomb into the vault, and then once it explodes, then it'll be easy pickings. That's kind of a little too easy, but obviously you take it with a grain of salt. Eventually, Spider-Man, in his fight with John Jameson towards the end of the issue, they end up on top of a power station, and so he lures John into the power station and eventually basically throws him into the electrical current to zap him, and the electricity apparently kills off the spores that were giving him the powers, and he comes to his right mind, so it all ends pretty happy. Also, throughout this issue, you get glimpses of stuff with Rhino, but that's not really part of this issue's story. So he's the only real, like, big Spider-Man villain that you see in it. But at the end, he finally gets roped into having to go with his aunt to her friend's house and meet Mary Jane. And meanwhile, he's just thinking about Gwen Stacy and hoping that things will work out on that end. And then you get the last panel, the big reveal of Mary Jane and the quote, "Face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot," which that's definitely an iconic moment in comics. And it just goes to prove that the redheads are the best and they're underrepresented in comics. Anytime you get one in a comic, it's just good stuff. I'm always a proponent of redheads. They are the best. Some of the things that stood out to me in this is the way that the teens dialogue was written was real lame in my book. Gwen storming off because Peter's blowing her off because he realizes that he's obligated to finally have to go meet Mary Jane. Gwen Stacy invited him to a party. And so she's mad and storming off with, I forget the character's name, Flash, something like that, storming off with him. And when they're talking, one of her lines to him was, "Don't worry, my fatuous friend." And just the way they talk, like, it doesn't feel like teenagers talking. Like, it's more like you could picture Stan Lee's voice saying it, and dubbed over the characters or something like that. Like, it just doesn't feel right. So that was the one thing that was kind of a negative to this in my book, although just kind of a fun quirk of the time, I guess. But I did really enjoy reading Spider-Man and the way that he quipped with his foes throughout the book. That's something that I've been reading Spider-Man a long time, and he's always been, you know, sarcastic and quippy and stuff like that. But it just really felt right reading Stan Lee write Spider-Man, and just thinking that's the original quips, like that's how it started. And there's been some great moments with Spider-Man since then. Some of my favorite moments have been in some of the event books or team up books where he's in with a bunch of other characters and, you know, drops one of his quips and just catches stunned silence from everybody because they're all annoyed by him or something like that. But it was definitely fun to read this and fun to see how Stan Lee wrote Spider-Man. Always good to get exposed to some of the legendary writing and art. So Stan Lee and John Romita, haven't read or seen a lot of their stuff, to be honest. So it was a good comic. I enjoyed reading it. I thank Rob for recommending it. And I already know what he's going to be recommending next, but we'll get to that one probably next week. And we're going to keep doing this. It's a good way for me to try new things. It's always hard, in my opinion, to dip back into old stuff when you're not familiar with it. It's very different reading. Rob was one of the people that helped me begin to read Chris Claremont's Uncanny X-Men. And once I got familiar with reading it enough, I just fell in love with the Uncanny X-Men, Chris Claremont's writing. And that was a big breakthrough for me in reading older comic books. So, you know, Rob was influential in that. And when I got really into it, he was all hyped up to continue to feed my enthusiasm with it. But it definitely took some effort. It took some time. It wasn't the easiest thing to get into. The way comics are written nowadays is a lot more approachable for the most part. The art does a lot more of the storytelling. The way it's written is a lot less describing the action, a lot more showing the action, and that makes it a lot easier to read. But there's definitely a lot to be found in older comic books, and not only the influences and how they influence the stuff that we're reading nowadays, but there are just some great moments of going back and reading some of that stuff, you know, seeing the first appearance of different characters, seeing a lot of the beauty in the art when they had a lot more limitations on how they did the art is really great. So I look forward to doing more of this for sure, and we'll see what things lead into me reading more of those things. I don't think I'll really be reading a whole lot more of this era of Spider-Man at the moment, but who knows what the future will bring. So that's it for your first segment of Rob's Marvel Recommendations. The next one will be an Uncanny X-Men issue, so stay tuned for that. And that's going to be it for this episode. That's the second episode this week. I haven't really had too much time to focus on too much else. I started my week-long vacation today, so I'll have more time over the next week to do a lot of reading, but it's pretty much been hammering, getting ready for vacation, and now that I'm on vacation, kind of getting stuff caught up to that needed to be caught up on. So that's about it. I wanted to get this recorded and get this segment started, though, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know what you think. You could find me on Twitter at Who's Paul. That's WHOSPAUL. Not who is Paul. So tweet me there. Let me know what you thought of this segment or perhaps other recommendations you would like me to read and discuss, or what your thoughts were about this book if you've read it before. hit me up there. Let me know what you think of the show, what you thought of this segment. A lot of these things are a work in progress, so feedback is definitely good. So I know what I can change to make it sound better, more interesting, whatever. So hit me up. And until next time, go check out some Spider-Man.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.